Pastor Doug here from Crossroads. It's great to be with you. I hope that today's message will draw you closer to Jesus.
Well, good morning, Crossroads. It's great to be with you. The year was 1987, and there was something new at McDonald's. If you placed an order, they would ask you a question, and this question continued for about a decade and a half. If you ordered a meal, it didn't matter what meal it was. Does anybody remember what that question might be? Do you want to supersize that, right? Do you want to supersize that? And man, if you were like a teenager with like nonstop metabolism and, you know, you're looking for cheap calories, the answer was always yes. Who doesn't want to say yes to a 44-ounce soda and a 7-ounce French fry? I mean, life was good for a decade and a half. Do you want to supersize that? And then there was this documentary in 2004, and the man went, and for a month, he only ate McDonald's food, and anytime they would ask that question, do you want to upsize, do you want to supersize, he would always say yes. And not surprising to any of us, there were negative health effects from that experience. Now, McDonald's will tell you, just coincidentally, that 6 weeks after the release of that documentary, Supersize went away. It just totally disappeared from the McDonald's menu. But supersizing fast food wasn't good for your health. But what about for your faith? What about for your faith? Is supersizing your faith a good thing? Do you want just a small portion of faith, just a little bit on the side, just enough to keep you comfortable? Maybe you want the Happy Meal size of faith, just a little bit there. Or are you more of, you know, I'm looking for a medium, you know, size of faith. Just what the average American is like that follows Jesus. No more, no less. I just want to be average. Or have you ever said, you know, I want big faith. I want that large or extra large faith. Come on, I'm okay to be supersized. I would love to have big faith. Because, you know, when there is big faith, there is big confidence and there is big trust in God. And you've met people with big faith and it just sort of like saturates all aspects of their life. When the storms of life come, they just seem to weather those storms. They continue to have confidence and trust in God. When they all of a sudden feel like they have been hurt or lonely or they face this kind of a crisis, they just sort of rebound in their faith in God. It stays steady. And it's not just like, you know, like the hard stuff of life, the storms of life. When you meet somebody that has big faith, it's the good stuff too. I mean, when everything is going their way, they don't make it all about them. Yeah, I got these skills. I got these talents. You know, this is all because of what I've done. They continue to point back to God and they have their identity and who they are in Christ and they give God the glory and they practice humility and this servanthood attitude as they serve people around them. But there's something about big faith that just draws us in. And maybe you've noticed at times, it seems like faith comes easier to some people than others. It's just easier to trust. It's easier to have that confidence in God. So how do we get that? How do we get big faith? What does that look like? And really, what is big faith all about? Because I think sometimes we get it wrong. Because we'll see somebody that has really, we think, big faith. You know, they're just all out there and their trust, their confidence, their belief in Jesus, and then that storm comes through. And it's just like their faith is washed away and it crumbles and it drowns. Or sometimes when somebody, they look like they have all big faith and then just, man, they're on top of the world, they make it all about them and God becomes marginalized or put to the side. So how do you get big faith and what's the secret sauce to all of that? How does it go? How does God grow faith in us? If you were with us back in September, there was a Sunday morning where you came here and you were given work to do because I wanted to hear from you. I wanted to hear from you. How does God grow faith in you? And we were asked this question. How does God grow your faith? What types of things, events, people, circumstances, practices, whatever have helped you grow spiritually? And you were given all these post-its and there were just like tons of post-its left here, how you answered that question. And, you know, we said, how does God grow in your faith now? How in the past has God grown your faith? How does God grow big faith in you? And we ended saying, you know, there's usually these five big categories. There's these five big categories that faith, that God grows faith in. And we talked about, you know, briefly all of them. I said, we're going to circle back in November and hit all these in more detail. But you didn't just have to do work that Sunday. You had homework. You were supposed to reproduce that exercise of asking friends, neighbors, other believers that question, how does God grow faith in you? And if you found some things that didn't fit in those five categories, you're supposed to email me back, and a number of you did. And you said, you know what, Doug, you know, it's really whenever I'm outside, that's just a great, you know, place for me, or I have this certain room in my house, or this certain time of the day, or it's when I'm doing my hobbies, or when I'm doing, and you listed all these things, and I tried to not force them into one of these five categories. But really what you were telling me is environment is important. There are certain environments where God really grows your faith. And it can look different for each of us, but understanding what environment you grow in, where God really seems to speak to you, is incredibly important. And before we dig into one of these five, I want to go back and I want to circle to what is faith? What is faith really all about? And we said, well, if you had to pick a scripture that sort of defines faith, it gives the definition, it would be Hebrews 11:1 in the hall of faith, where faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. And if you look at different biblical definitions of faith and you try to get to the root of some of them, it would read like this. It's a belief and trust in God based on evidence, but without total proof. In other words, faith is really an active trust. It's an active trust that is meant to be lived out. So today, in one of those environments that God has used for centuries to help people grow in faith, we're going to dig into the aspect of practical teaching. That's where we're going to start out today. Practical teaching shows us where we are and where we need to go. Now, personally for me, I can't always remember what I preached on last Sunday. I can't always know what I'm going to preach on next Sunday. But throughout the course of my life, man, there are messages that involve practical biblical teaching that just God used to grow my faith. I can think back to sermons I heard when I was a teenager. I can remember, man, when I was interning out in California, I went on a youth retreat. I can still remember what that one guest speaker talked about. There are conferences I've been to, man, that the message still hangs with me. In the past 13 years here at Crossroads, I've been through a lot of different small group studies, but there are a few key ones that really grew stretch where God was growing bigger faith in me. I've read tons of books, but there are a few key ones that stick out to me that God really used those to grow my faith. And it was an impact that led to life change, not just short term, not just days or weeks or months, but really impacted and directed the course of my life. And most all of you have very similar stories. You'll hear stories like this when somebody talks about their life of faith. You know what? I wasn't that interested in God, but then that cute girl, that cute guy invited me to church. And I went there to get to know them more, and I didn't go there to intend to hear anything. But man, it was like that preacher, that teacher was speaking directly to me, and my life was forever changed. All my friends were going to this like Bible camp in the summer, and I accepted their invitation just to be with them and have some fun. But man, the speaker, the camp counselor, there was that one time where they were speaking and it was just like, boom, so much change happened in my life. There are these group of neighbors and they'd get together in this small group and they'd sit around in a circle and they invited me in. And it seemed weird at first, but man, what we were listening to, what we were studying, and the way that they were transparent and authentic about what God is doing in their life, man, did God ever use that environment, that situation, just really, boom, grow my faith. And you and I were limited in what we could recall. But there are so many times of practical biblical teaching, so many podcasts that I can't even remember, or sermons I can't remember, or conferences or books I can't remember that had an impact on my life of faith and the course and direction where God was leading me and was taking me. And we find that Jesus teaches over and over and over to application. It's never just information. It's never just stuff to know or stuff to hear. It always leads to application to how we live. It's all about what we do with what we know or what we have heard. Here's what we know. For growing our faith, what we do is more significant than what we know. If you really want God to grow your faith, you want that big faith, it's so much more about what we do with what we know than simply what we know. Our faith thrives on practical teaching from the Bible that is meaningful and applicable to everyday life. In other words, obedience. Obedience makes all the difference. And when we forget about that, and when we get it backwards, our life of faith is stunted. God's no longer growing big faith in us. Sometimes we're often shrinking back. Today we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew. And just a few chapters in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus begins preaching and teaching the Sermon on the Mount. And it is all about how we live out our life of faith. He talks about dealing with anger. He talks about dealing with lust. He talks about the importance of forgiveness in our lives. He talks about what it's like to be generous with people. He gives us direction for how our prayer life, what it should look like, what we should do. He talks about tough things, about loving people that we really don't want to love. And throughout the Sermon on the Mount, it's all about stuff to do. It's not just to hear. It's not just to know. It's not just to understand. It is meant to be application oriented. It's about, you know, if you want God to grow big faith in your life, here's how you live this out. This is what your life will look like. Sermon on the Mount is all about not simply knowing things that make a difference in our lives. It is doing that makes the difference. And by the time that we get to Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is landing the plane on what is often described as the greatest sermon ever preached. Jesus just turned the world upside down with his teaching. He said, well, you know, this is what the religious leaders, this is what your ancestors have said over and over, but I tell you this truth. The culture around you will say this, that this is the way to live, but I tell you this is the way that a person of big faith operates. And then he gets to building a solid foundation. This is how he lands the plane. This is how he summarizes up everything that he has just taught. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. The problem, far too often, we're listening, we're understanding, we're memorizing, we're studying, we're doing all of these really, really good things. And we wimp out on the application, the doing, the obeying. It's hear this, know this, understand this, memorize this, teach this, study this. And they're all really, really good things. But if we ever elevate any of those above application, or we shrink or miss out on application, our growth of faith is stunted. Jesus says, this is stuff you do. This is stuff you live out. This is stuff that you apply to your everyday life. Anyone who develops content or teaches content will tell you that it is so easy to get caught up in information, and then you end up skimping on application. And that applies to every environment, not just here preaching, man. That involves children's ministry, student ministry, any of our small group environments, men's ministry, women's ministry, any group that meets on Sunday morning. It is so easy to get caught up on information transfer and skimp out or miss out completely on applying it to our everyday lives. And whenever we begin to do that and we skimp out or we miss out on application, it loses its priority. We often begin to focus on other things, really good things, but we focus on other things. Now, if you grew up in church, I don't know what your experience was like, but sometimes you look back on your church experience and you think, well, that was a little different. That was a little weird. I don't know if you ever grew up in a church, but in my church back in the 70s, it was all about attendance. And specifically, it was about Sunday school attendance. And, you know, we had a Sunday school superintendent. I mean, it was real. It was organized like a school system. And in our church, for all of our classrooms, there was the door that you entered into for your classroom. But then up yay high, there was about a cat-shaped door. Did anybody grow up in a church with a cat-shaped door? I see a few hands. The rest of you think, this is so incredibly weird. Why was there a cat-shaped door up so high? Because you showed up to Sunday school, the door was closed, and pretty early in, your teacher was taking attendance. And then that attendance folder, you open the little magic door on this side, you place the folder in there, you close the door. And we could just listen for later on, because that Sunday school superintendent or somebody on his team was walking by and they would take that out. And they tracked your attendance. And attendance was so important. Because, man, if you went, in my church, if you went a whole year with perfect attendance, you got a pin. A pin, I tell you. And that was like the biggest deal. Because, man, if you had had perfect attendance all year long and you got to December and, like, you had a 103-degree fever and things were coming out like both ends, you're like, Mom, I'm good. I can go to Sunday school. Come on, I'm going to make it there. There might be a cleanup on aisle 3, but I'm going to get there. I am not going to sacrifice that pin. Now, come on, attendance is really important. I want you to be at church, but I don't want you to be at church to gain favor of God. I want you to be at church so you can connect with your Heavenly Father, engage in worshiping Him with your brothers and sisters in Christ. I want you at church, not because Jesus is counting attendance, but because it's a place for you to express your love and worship. And please don't miss this. Attendance, Bible memorization, deep study, they are all good things. But if they become the focus, if that becomes the emphasis over application, spiritual growth will be stunted. We are missing the mark. I'm going to go back to my childhood again. There was this thing that in elementary school that I would go to that was called Bible release. Public school, you know, we'd get taken to a local church, and it was all about Bible memorization. And throughout recent decades in the church, man, it has been easy to become all about memorization. I remember being early in my time in seminary. Man, that's only like a decade and a half later. And there were studies that came out that tracked people that went through something like Bible release. And they were tracking to see, you know, all this work, all this emphasis on memorization led to somebody sticking and being a disciple of Jesus, led to big faith. And again and again, the study said, that's not true. That doesn't make the difference. That's not the secret sauce. But memorization is so good. Memorization without an emphasis on application is missing the mark. It stunts spiritual growth. We shouldn't be surprised by that, right? Because it's just proving Jesus to be true. Because Jesus says it's all about application. If you hear, you know, you study, you memorize, but you don't do, but you don't live it out, but you don't apply it, it stunts your faith. It's the doing that makes a difference. Jesus says it's listening and following, it's knowing and doing, it's living out what you believe. then Jesus makes his promise to all who choose to follow and do, follow and obey. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. What's the promise? What does Jesus promise for those who follow and do, who listen and obey, who live it out? Is the promise, it's going to be all sunshine and 76 degree days for you. It's going to be a life with, man, no relationship problems, no health issues or crisis. You're not going to have any financial problems. You're never going to disagree with your culture and the way that it's going. Life's just going to be smooth and easy. Jesus doesn't promise any of those things. Jesus says when you listen and obey, when you follow and you do, when you apply and live out what you have heard, your faith won't collapse. Your faith won't get washed away. Come on, the storms are going to come. It's going to be tough. Things are going to be shaking. But your faith, your confidence and trust holds firm. Man, the floodwaters comes. There are times where it seems like everything's getting washed away. Man, you are just sort of treading water and holding on for dear life. But your faith doesn't sink to the bottom. Your faith holds strong. It's not easy. But your confidence and your trust and your hope in God remain. The floods still happen, but your faith holds strong. You're probably asking, but what about the opposite? Come on, what's the opposite? That's a great question. What if I listen to Jesus? What if I hear? What if I study? What if I memorize? What if I do all of those really, really good things, but I don't apply? I don't live it out. I don't do. That's a great question. That's a great question, but before Jesus answers your question, I want you to answer your question. Let me phrase it a little bit of a different way. If you and I listen, read, study, memorize, believe, but don't follow, do, live it out, we are by definition, people in our lives, the U.S. is, okay, you have to fill in the blank this time, all right? You got to say it out loud. I know it's painful. It's horrible. It hurts. We are by definition hypocrites. People in our lives view us as hypocrites. And that sounds so devastatingly awful. But I believe the picture that Jesus paints is so much harder, so much more devastating. Because Jesus continues on, he answers your question. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey, doesn't do, doesn't live it out, doesn't apply it. Anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand, when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. There is no promise that your faith will remain. When you listen, when you hear, when you memorize, when you study, but you don't live it out, there is no promise that your faith will stand firm. As a matter of fact, when those storms of life come, when the flood comes, it's all about, how could God let this happen? Does God even care? Does God even love me more? Anymore. Is there even a God? And faith and trust and confidence and hope in God gets replaced with disbelief and hurt and anger and resentment and bitterness and hopelessness. This is why we as a church, this is why we as Crossroads, every environment that we offer with teaching, anytime we look into Scripture, we emphasize application. We talk about what does it look like to live this out. I mean, Jesus is crystal clear on this topic. James, the brother of Jesus, is sarcastically clear on this topic. Scripture writer after scripture writer talks about the importance of living it out, of doing, of obedience, of following. Think about the disciples. Think about the Bible heroes. Man, you love their stories. You look to them for inspiration. If Noah had just said no to the whole build an ark thing in the midst of a drought, would you even know the name of Noah? Would anybody be named Esther anymore if Esther had simply said, you know, I don't think this is a good time to make an appointment or request to see the king? Would anybody name their child Luke if Luke had said, no, I think I'll just remain a doctor, but Jesus, thanks for the invitation to follow? Would you know anybody named James or John if they said, Jesus, that's interesting, but we're going to keep to fishing for fish. So we need your help. This is an all skate for us. If you see us teaching, preaching, and it's all about information or studying or memorization, and we're skimping on the application, call us out. Say, Doug, you know what? 7 weeks. 7 weeks, you know, deep study of both the Hebrew and Greek names for love throughout the Old and New Testament. That's interesting. But you never really mention what it looks like to live that out on a regular basis. Doug, could you help me out? My children have memorized the portion of the Sermon on the Mount that talks about loving your enemies. But I just caught my kid with a slingshot in his backpack headed to school. He was going to go all David and Goliath on the bully there. Could you teach him what it looks like to live out, to apply loving your enemies? Doug, my teenager, they've heard all about what Jesus has to say in the Sermon on the Mount about lust and the implications that has in your life. But what does that mean? How do they live that out? I mean, come on, they're filled with hormones. Could you make sure we're teaching in a direction that helps them to navigate in a healthy way what's going on in their bodies and their lives and the implication it can have on them? We need your help. There's times where we miss the mark. There are times where we get off course. Every teacher, every preacher, will tell you that it gets exhausting and we end up skimping on application and we go simply to information transfer. But Jesus points us again and again to practical, authentic, and relatable application. Not because it's easy, but because it is how God grows big faith in us. Lane Jones says it like this. Unapplied truth is like unapplied paint. It doesn't do anybody any good. The value of paint is in the application. And so what we want to do in every environment, every context, here on a Sunday morning, upstairs in children's ministry, Tuesday night in student ministry, we want to bring in that can of paint. We want to stir it up. We want to get it all ready. We want to hand you the paint can and a brush. And we say, now you got to go live this out. We've done everything that we can do. We've made it as easy or as simple as we can. But man, you need to go to work and you need to apply this. You need to paint it. You need to go to your schools. And you need to apply this. You need to paint it. You need to go back into your family and your extended families and with your neighbors. And you need to get out the roller and the paintbrush and you need to apply this. Because application makes all the difference, and application is one of the ways that God loves to grow big faith in us. And speaking of application, let's go to that last slide, the connection card. You often think, why do they do a connection card? It's to make us focus on what we want you to learn, how we want you to live this out, to at least make you think about it. It's really often more for the preacher than it is even for you. Here's what I'd love for you to talk about. In your family, in your small group with a friend, have you ever applied a specific teaching of Scripture that, looking back, prepared you for an unexpected storm? You've been taking seriously what Jesus had to say about forgiving people and loving your enemies, and then there was a storm, and man, you were glad you were ready, that you had been applying this truth for so long. Can you think of a difficult time you faced that could have been avoided if you'd applied the principles of Scripture? You might say, oh, the overwhelming credit card debt. If I would have just listened to what Scripture writers had to say about debt and handling money, man, it would have made such a difference in my life. It's not about knowing. It's not simply about knowing. It's about being obedient. It's about doing. It's about applying. It's about living it out. And that's what we do, and that's what we focus on. And we don't always get it right. But we know how important this is into growing big faith. So we come back to it again.
Thanks again for listening. Any step you take towards Jesus is a step in the right direction. You can find out more about us at crbic.org. That's crbic.org.